You are listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on Airs LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. The following is an article from the May-June 2025 edition of National Geographic History Magazine. The title of today's article is Liberia, Colony of Liberty with a Dark History, by Enrique Vaccarizzo. My name is Jim Briscoe, and this is brought to you by Airs LA. After free black Americans settled in Liberia in 1822, it became the world's second black republic. But the West African colony was blighted by the legacy of racism in the United States. Faced with injustice in the land of their enslavement, oppressed people might find the offer of a new country, with the chance for freedom and prosperity, attractive. But during the early 1800s in the U.S., however, the idea of establishing a colony of black Americans in Africa was deeply controversial among freedmen, people of African descent who had gained freedom from enslavement, and freeborn black people. The reason centered on the self-centered motives of many of the project's promoters. It was supported by, among others, pro-enslavement figures. Although it led to the founding of Liberia, the world's second ever black republic, the new state later practiced violence against indigenous Africans. Most free black people saw themselves as Americans, participating in the economy of their newly liberated country. Many freedmen had fought in the Revolutionary War against Great Britain from 1775 to 1783. Some earning their freedom in this way. Their contributions were overlooked, however, and black Americans were harassed in southern states by the slave-owning order. Large numbers of free black people moved north, where, despite enjoying more freedoms, they still faced civil, political, and social discrimination. Many white people questioned their ability to integrate into American society. It was ironically both these racist views and a desire by some black people for a new start that shaped the idea of a colony in Africa. The project took shape in 1816 with the founding of the American Colonization Society, or ACS. Many ACS members belonged to Protestant churches, notably its founder, Robert Finley, a white Presbyterian minister. The Society's members had strikingly different motivations for supporting its aim. Abolitionists sincerely wanted to not only help black freedmen escape racism, but also use them to spread Protestant Christianity in Africa. Some of the Society's backers were pro-slavery. They believed an African colony would remove those whose free status and abolitionist ideas might otherwise incite uprisings among the enslaved black people of the South. The ACS established branches in many U.S. cities in the North and the South, and the federal government supported the initiative. After the 1808 ban on importing enslaved people, the authorities were keen on a base in Africa where they could send Africans who had been freed from slave ships intercepted at sea. There was already a precedent for such transfers. Enslaved black Americans who fought for the British during the Revolutionary War were living in a state of destitution in London by the late 1700s. British campaigners created what would later become the British Crown Colony of Sierra Leone in West Africa, where, following Britain's 1807 abolition of the slave trade across its empire, people who had once been enslaved could be resettled. The first step was to choose where free black settlers would be sent. An 1818 exploratory voyage pinpointed Sherbro Island off the coast of Sierra Leone. In 1820, dozens of free black people, mostly from Vermont and Virginia, embarked there. Sherbro Island proved swampy and insalubrious. Within months after illness and deaths, the settlers were evacuated. Eli Ayres, a doctor representing the ACS, was dispatched to West Africa to find a more appropriate section of the coast to attempt colonization. Along with U.S. Naval Captain Robert Field Stockton, he identified land around Cape Mesurado. Ayres and Stockton negotiated with regional leaders, including Basa Dey chief Zolu Duma, known by the Americans as King Peter, who carried out lucrative trade with Europeans, including in enslaved people. The deal was a strip of coastland just under 40 miles long and 3 miles wide, in exchange for goods worth $300 at the time. Sources affirm after Zolo Duma tried to pull out of the deal, Stockton threatened him at gunpoint. The violence of the colony's birth overshadowed its growth. In 1824, the city that grew up around Cape Mesurado, initially called Christopholis, was renamed Monrovia in honor of American President James Monroe. The wider colony was named Liberia. Ships carrying free black people arrived in a steady trickle. By 1847, Monrovia had about 4,000 inhabitants. By 1867, 13,000 free black people had moved to Liberia. Grave fractures, however, were forming in the nascent state. The indigenous peoples launched an attack on the colony in 1822, which was held off. Sources attest that many new arrivals were not there of their own volition. Some were forced to emigrate as part of a racist initiative to remove as many free black people as possible from American soil. The colony's first leaders were white members of the ACS. But in 1841, a freeborn man named Joseph Jenkins Roberts was elected governor. He was the son of a white planter and a black enslaved woman. By this time, the ACS was struggling with the financial burden of maintaining the colony and also threatened by British colonial expansion in the area. Supported by the British, the colonists declared Liberia independent in 1847. Roberts was elected president of the world's second black republic after Haiti. Britain, France, and other European nations quickly recognized the existence of the new country, but the United States did not do so until 1862, just before the Emancipation Proclamation made by Abraham Lincoln on January 1, 1863. Liberia adopted a constitution modeled after the United States, with a democratically elected legislature and an independent judiciary. However, the only people to enjoy full rights were the so-called Americo-Liberians, Liberian settlers from the United States, and their descendants, which today constitutes only a fraction of the country's population. From the beginning, the Americo-Liberians were radically different from the indigenous people. They spoke English, practiced Christianity, and dressed in a European manner. The colonists rapidly exploited indigenous Liberians as sources of cheap labor, creating a system of segregation. Discontent led to frequent attempts at rebellion, which were put down brutally by the colonists. Liberia's motto, "The love of liberty brought us here," papered over deep rifts between indigenous peoples and Americo-Liberians, later erupting into years of brutal civil wars from the 1980s. Since the early 2000s, Liberia has enjoyed stability, the fruit of a long, complex peace process. If you want to learn more about AIRS LA and the types of programs we offer, follow us by clicking on any of the social media links at the top of our webpages. If you like what you see or hear, please click the like button. That brings us to the end of today's article, Liberia, Colony of Liberty with a Dark History. My name is Jim Briscoe. Thank you for listening.